We are what we imagine. Our very existence consists of our imagination of ourselves. Our best destiny is to imagine, at least completely, who and what and that we are. The greatest tragedy that can befall us is to go unimagined. N. Scott Momaday. We now continue with part 4 of Ticket Time with Seth, right here on Leaders and Legacies.
Before sunrise, you all wake up. It is, we'll say, 5 in the morning. The kitchen staff and bar staff are all asleep at this point. The only person you hear moving around is you hear some scuffle out in the stable. As you approach and kind of poke your head at it, you see the stable boy going to town on some human who had approached your stall, Feltor, and you just hear him, "I told the lady nobody in there!" And he's just going to town with a broom and just smacking the daylights out of this human. And the human's everything he could do to just keep the broom away. And it's, we're talking like scrubbing broom, so it's just one giant wooden block with short bristles. As you guys step out, the human finally looks up past the broom and sees you guys standing there. And quite promptly turns around and ducks back out of the stables.
I take chase.
He is hauling tail. You see him go into the eastern quarter.
Do I get a good look at him?
Kind of scraggly. He's wearing a black hood, but his armor is some sort of like, it's still hairy. They didn't even bother like getting the hair of the animal off of it. So it kind of has this kind of weird like stench to it also. You're pretty sure that if you got within 10 feet of this guy again, you could probably pick him out of a lineup based on smell alone.
Okay. I'll return to the stable.
In the stable, you see that the stable boy has covered all of your gear in straw, but it is all still there. He's like, "Yeah, that guy, he tried to slip in behind me and I heard him like kind of fishing through stalls and stuff. And then when he found yours, I just started, you know, I don't know, he gave me a copper. So I was trying to keep him out of the stall. And the only thing I had on me was the broom. So I started hitting him with it."
"Fine work, son. Fine work.
I appreciate it, young man. And here's another copper for your bravery."
"Huh? Happy to, ma'am. Meantime, I'm going to go back to bed." And you see him just like he kind of climbs his way back up to the hayloft, and you hear him flop down in the hay up there.
"I'd like to get my mace and my hammer."
"We need to get our stuff out of here and bring it with us, but I do not recommend showing it while we're walking through the city. So we need to find some way of getting all of that with us to where we can actually put it on, which I presume is going to be somewhere at the bottom of or in the tower. Any ideas?"
"Well, the only way that all of us are getting into the tower is through the sewers anyway. And it looks like there's an opening over here."
"Right. We can access the sewers right here."
"Yep. I would agree.
So I'd like to suggest we use hay. That's why I said hay before."
"Hay?
You know, we can transport things unseen inside the hay."
"It's not a bad idea."
"Hay, you say?"
"Yeah. Someone mentioned, and that I can see it as well, there is a lot of hay."
"You got lots of bales of hay, and there's probably a couple like two-wheeled carts or things like that if you wanted to grab them and stack bales on."
"Yes, let's do that. I agree. So if we can borrow a cart, throw all the stuff in the back, cover it with hay, I think that's perfect. Great idea, Claw."
"Yeah, I'll leave a note for whoever the logistics person is for this particular area. I don't want to say quartermaster because I don't see any quarters.
So you stack all of your gear on the bottom of the wagon, and then you put the bales of hay on top of it. How do you want to go?
Claw, are you going to pull the wagon?
Of course.
All right.
You don't ever offer a plan without offering help. It's my personal philosophy.
Thank you, Claw.
It's impersonal as well. I apply it equally.
Very well. Shall we commence to our destination?
I thought the idea was to kind of get to the local sewer area over there and then put our gear on and go into the sewer. We're not trying to walk through the front door, Seth.
I think so. I don't think we have anywhere else that we need to go unless there's any descent. We're on a timeline.
So you make your way. So you're heading to the tower, correct?
Yes.
You're just going to try and walk through with the wagon full of gear?
Yes. Correct. Okay. We're going through the sewer.
Okay. So as you weave your way, it doesn't take long to get over there. I mean, the village isn't really all that big. Probably 15, 20 minutes to get over there. You drag the cart in. Go ahead and give me a survival check, Feltor, now that you know what you're looking for as far as the sewer entrances are concerned.
17.
Good enough. It doesn't take you long to find in one of the alleys, one of the entry points again. And it's quite literally just this door built into what looks like the side of the building, but it actually leads to a stairwell that goes down. As you guys pull the cart in, get your gear out, head down, you're now in the sewers again.
Can we try to pull the cart over top of the sewer hole and then enter? That way it's just kind of sitting over top of the sewer and hopefully nobody thinks about the sewer hole.
Sure. So you pull it over top, you go down. You enter the sewer. You are all spread out along the 2-foot kind of passageway that goes down the side of the sewer. Those of you who are putting on your armor, take a couple minutes to get your armor on. Which of you gets the full chainmail and which of you gets the chain shirt?
My lord, you get the full chainmail.
It's a good idea.
I'm just making sure. Okay. So, I need everybody to roll me a stealth check. Because I assume you're not just like partying down the sewer way.
I rolled a nat 1.
Oh, ouch.
So Winston is singing quite nicely down the sewer way. All right, so... Does anybody have training in survival? Meaning, if you look at your character sheet, look at the survival skill at the bottom of your skill table. Is survival darkened in that little circle to the left of it? Okay. Who would like to take point?
Claw, shall you?
We might not be able to see past them. Just saying.
Well, you said there's two sidewalks, right?
Yeah, there's two sidewalks, one on either side, and there's about 6 feet of water in between.
I'm actually kind of squishy.
You know, actually, second thought, it may make more sense for Fergus to go first and scout.
Okay.
You know, 15.
Go ahead and give me a survival check, Fergus.
Fergus, would you mind?
14.
Good. Good enough. Okay, so you start following the path. You do notice as you guys are walking that the flow of water down the stream is definitely heading from your front to your back. So you're heading upstream. You're going to owe me 2 more survival checks to find the tower, Fergus. So you can roll them both in rapid succession, or you can just roll them here. And
Let me do a little bardic inspiration to help him out. Dun, 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 dun. What's that I do for bardic inspiration?
Actually, you just click the ability And then he gets to add an extra 1d6 to his roll.
Yep. So as a bonus, a creature within 60 can hear or gains an inspiration 1d8.
Yep. So go ahead and roll an extra 1d8 and add that to your...
But first you need to hear the inspiration.
Tier 12.
The scent of the sewer is a reminder of the delicate balance between nature and the importance of our stewardship in maintaining its purity and beauty.
That was very scout-like. That was a very... The scout is clean.
Sorry.
Very nice. I like it.
I feel so inspired.
Go ahead and give me a... Excellent. Okay, so that gives you a 14, an 18, and a 19, which is enough. So as you find your way through, you're making your way up the walls, and Fergus is kind of pointing out, and every so often you guys see as he's like, no, no, go that way, go that way. And he kind of directs you down a side path. And as you kind of zigzag your way to the north, it takes you guys about 15 minutes from where you started to where you hear a flow of water. It's just this pipe in the wall and just this constant flow of water and a good amount of pressure coming out of it. But then you notice right behind that pipe, there's actually a metal ladder that goes straight up into the ceiling. As you guys start climbing the ladder, you get to the top and there is a wooden door for you, Fergus. You see the padlock on the door. There's a solid lock there. If you want to give me a sleight of hand check to see if you can pop it.
25.
Yeah, that thing comes off with absolutely no problems whatsoever. Padlock comes off, the door goes up. You enter into a room of the base of the tower. You can very quickly and easily make out the solid white quartz stone that's all seamless. In the center of the room, you see a large ramp that leads up to a stone ring. The ring is about 25 feet wide, and the ramp leads right up to the middle of it. The ring seems to be made with no symbols, edging, or anything of this swirling black and white stone, which seems to be ever in motion. Little flecks of diamonds seem to be like stars on a field that seems to be bouncing back and forth. In front of this ring, you actually see a pillar. That pillar has 7 concentric circles, each one getting smaller than the next. And in the middle of the smallest circle, there is a hole, the shape and size of roughly a grapefruit, where best guess would say probably the keystone goes when the device is activated. Behind the gate, you actually see a series of stairwell that spirals the entire inner ring of the tower going up to the next floor. At which point, I need all of you to give me one more stealth check.
I got a 12.
Oh, good.
Unless
guys.
Winston is still singing at the top of his lungs.
22.
15.
9.
Winston is still singing at the top of his lungs.
I'm just giving some background music as we're walking.
Can I knock him out? Right, our cleric's not a whole lot better.
Your rogue isn't doing
our cleric is worse.
14.
So you notice as Varen manages to climb up out of it, he trips and stumbles, drops his shield and his mace, and they both like slam into the ground with this nice echoing rattle throughout the room.
Shouldn't have had that 10th pastry.
Where would you like to go? What would you like to do?
Straight up the stairs as soon as we can before anyone comes down and wondering what the sound was about.
As you go up the stairs, you make it up. The wooden door at the end does not appear to be locked. So as you push it open, it opens up into the center, kind of back into the center of the tower. Down the center of the room is a long wooden table with benches on one side of it, and then high-backed, like, formal noble chairs down the other. Lining the outside of the wall, you see a series of doors, and across each door header, there's a name marked. On the far side of the room, there is actually another spiral staircase that kind of weaves its way up in a very close, tight spiral up to the third floor. I will need one more stealth check from you guys here. Oh, dear Lord.
It's a good thing I have plus 10.
Fergus is just kind of giving all of you guys a very, like, nasty stink eye as you guys are walking through here.
I think we need to leave some people behind to watch this area or something.
So, yeah, you as you guys are walking through here and you're, like, stumbling into the table and knocking over goblets and platters, like, one of the candelabras falls over and starts to catch the table runner, at which point Varen is sitting there, like, slamming the table trying to put out the fire.
Doesn't anybody have a spell for this that they can, like, keep things quiet? Does anybody have something?
I actually can cast silence.
Please do. Does it cover?
No, it only covers a general area. I don't think it would help us out. I will try to be a moving area.
Can you cast it, like, on you and have it move?
Yeah, it doesn't
you?
Move. I will be quiet. I promise. I will put the lute away.
Silence doesn't move.
Putting it away now. I will no longer sing songs. Oh, you just wish somebody would tell me that we were going to be quiet.
Can you put the dwarf away?
Note taken. We will say something in the future.
You hear a number of apprentices. There appear to be about three between the doors, just yelling out, "Gregor, for the love of God, shut up and lay down somewhere."
Let me tell your mother's on you.
They're all just yelling obscenities and, like, things that would make Claw want to wash their mouths out with soap.
Sorry.
Let's just get up.
As you go through the next room and you kind of go up the spiral staircase, at the top of the spiral staircase is this formal door. It's got all of this gold and silver filigree done in what are very clearly arcane patterns around the door. There is a handle and a locking mechanism that you can see easily, but it looks like the vines all, like, weave almost into the frame around it.
Can we see if it's locked or if there's a noticeable lock on it?
There is a lock.
I cast identify. I'm pretty sure that this is going to belong to the head mage of this place, and it's probably covered in magic.
So the identify spell picks up the filigree, and it is an ancient elven locking spell that is tied back to the mechanical lock of the door. And the moment the lock is done, the vines weave into the building structure around it. In your experience, you've probably only seen this once or twice before. It is a very ancient form of elven magic that really isn't used much anymore. This is a bookworm who just kind of wanted to do something really pretty and fancy. But the basic gist of it is, if you unlock the door, the filigree untangles itself and lets the door swing open.
I cast knock.
As you cast that, you watch as the vines all shrivel back into the center point of the door to a central rune, and it just kind of absorbs the vines in, and you hear a subtle as the locking mechanism flips over.
You're welcome.
Well done.
All right. Who's going in?
Push open the door. Who's on point?
Fergus!
That would be Fergus.
Now, Seth, are there I guess gaps is the word I'm
in the door?
For.
Yeah, you can peek through the keyhole.
I'm gonna go through the keyhole. I'm gonna go into Gash's form and just go through it
okay.
and explore the room.
So as you enter the room, there is kneeling in the center. The room is a spacious office residence. There is a large, finely carved wooden desk in the middle. There are library shelves all the way wrapping the entire office. This office spans the entire diameter of the tower. Draw a blank on the word. The four-poster bed on the far side, wrapped in silks and everything. You can see a closet full of robes that are very intricately wrought and done in gold and silver threads and blue silks. Kneeling at the front of the desk, you see a warrior dressed in half plate. There is a large two-handed sword on his back. Seems to be breathing slowly, but
like needs a CPAP breathing slowly?
More like in quiet meditation. He's in one of those trance sleeps, not
I'm just trying to help everybody out if they need help. I assume he can't see me in my gaseous form.
No, he does not see you in his gaseous form. I just want to check one more thing before. All right, so what you also see are two humans moving through the bookshelves. They seem to be like reorganizing the books.
Do I see anything that looks like what we're looking for?
In the center of the desk, you see it's like sunken into the desk, but there is a orange-ish crystal, which is a perfect sphere that would be about the size of what they described you were looking for. You would actually have to get out and pick it up to examine it to make sure it really was what you wanted.
Yeah, so the guy is meditating with his back to me.
Yes.
And the people in the shelves, can I do like some sort of perception or insight?
Yeah, you can give me a perception check. See how insight check, whichever you're better at, to see how attentive they are.
I think I'm better at insight. 15, yes, there we go.
Okay. They are apprentices. They are deep focus on what they are doing. They know if they do not have these books in the proper order, sequenced the way the magister wants, they are hosed.
Okay, so yeah. So I'm going to kind of float over towards the desk, make sure my body's clear of all everything, and kind of, you know, let go of my concentration, pick up the object.
Okay. The moment you pick it and pull it out of the desk, there is a ringing, like a chime bell that goes off. You can hear it kind of echo around the room.
Do we know the source of that sound?
You can hear it. It's coming from the other side of the door for you guys. Claw would recognize it as an alarm spell on the desk itself.
Now that I have it, I guess I'm just going to, you know, does it look like what I need?
Yes, it does.
Okay, I'm going to shove it in my pocket and go back into gaseous form using my second, third level spot.
Okay.
Disappear as quickly as I can.
And this is why the sorcerer was not on the primary party list.
That's why I brought a sorcerer.
All right. Okay, you're back in gaseous form.
It's in gaseous form with me as well, correct?
Yes. So any item you possess goes into gaseous form as well.
The desk is what's ringing, though, right? So I correct. Don't need to worry about the ringing following me.
Correct. The desk is what was alarmed, not the orb. So as you move your way around. The Dragonborn leaps to its feet and draws out its two-handed sword and is looking around, trying to figure out what's going on.
And now, it's time once again for your Dungeon Master moment with our very own Dungeon Master, Dave.
Thank you for listening in to Ticket Time with Seth, Part 4. We hope to be back with Episode 5 next week. Thank you for your patience with us as we've been pushing these out. We are really looking forward to what's coming up. Season 2, the re-records have begun, so we're working on that. Chris will be putting together episodes for us to listen to with Season 2. The beautiful thing is that we also have some amazing content coming up. Some of the cast recently sat down and was able to record a session of us playing Coyote and Crow with Kitty Height. It was pretty awesome. We learn, you know, you get to learn all about the game, how it's a welcoming space for non-native players as well as native players. Coyote and Crow is a game that was put out a couple years back. It's just so awesome. We needed to help them get the word out on this amazing game. There'll be all kinds of details in that upcoming episode, but stay tuned for that on your favorite Scouter podcast, Leaders and Legacies. Listening to the podcast, we hope you've enjoyed what you've heard. If you have enjoyed what you heard, one of the things that you can do is support us by giving us a review on your favorite podcatching platform, whether that be Apple, Podchaser, or even Spotify. Also, you can support us by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/leadersandlegacies, or checking out our website, leadersandlegacies.com. You can also check out our Tee Public store, which, you know, has sales going on throughout the holiday season, where you can get anywhere from 20 to 40% off all of the merch that's available there, and including those from other vendors as well. Let's see. Oh, legal disclaimer. We are not in any way, shape, or form associated with the Boy Scouts of America or the Wizards of the Coast, but we do highly recommend that you do get involved with both organizations, because they'll put a lot more fun and greatness into your life. All our music is from soundstripe.com, as well as additional photos from shutterstock.com. Original art is by Catherine Evans for our logo, and the Gateway of the Gods was done by Lightcrush, or Jenna Vincent, out of Australia. And never forget to remember,
the scent of the sewer is a reminder of the delicate balance between nature and the importance of our stewardship in maintaining its purity and beauty.